morning and welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, August 5th. Why did I put 8th? 2018. I guess I'm ready for it to be the 8th. I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz, and I'm in studio with Jordan, and we have a special guest via Skype, which is Dan from Britain. Debating religion is a time-honored tradition. Oftentimes we consider these debates, or when we consider these debates, we think of Hitchens, Dawkins, or Harris. But honestly, these debates happen all the time. In fact, there is one in Wisconsin at a festival called Anathotis. I can't speak this morning fast. Dan from Britain came all the way across the pond to do one, two, or four of these debates at the festival. He's worked at Doctors Without Borders, has an undergraduate in philosophy, and keeps up his skills by debating people online and on stage. This is an open conversation, and we welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. The phone number is only available when we're live, but you can always email or tweet whether we're live or whether you're listening to the podcast. Jordan, Dan, welcome to Atheist Talk.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
So, Dan, how was your trip?
It was pretty good. I ended up flying via Iceland because you can't actually fly direct from the UK straight to the Midwest. So I had to go via somewhere, and Reykjavik seemed like the most interesting option. So I had a nice little 3-day stop over there to get my jet lag in stages.
I was going to say 3-day stop. That sounds awesome. I would love to do that.
That's great. There's whales and trolls and I would say geezers, but I've been told that that is not right, and I should say geysers. So.
Yep.
Yeah, because I was going to say geezers has a whole different connotation, at least here.
Yeah, I've gathered that. It's one of those things where we're separated by a common language.
That's true.
So, all right. Before we get to the arts festival, the main reason you came over here, Dan, just tell us a little bit about yourself, like your background and education, like maybe where you're from, all that sort of stuff.
Sure. Well, as you can probably tell from my accent, I'm from the deep south. no, I was born in the Midlands in Britain, and grew up mostly in Yorkshire, in a very liberal Methodist church, to the extent that I suspect a lot of the people who I've been hanging out with the last few days would not consider it a Christian church. But it was, you know, from my point of view, it was what it was, and I sort of gradually fell away from it during my teens. I started volunteering to help run the Sunday school, so I didn't have to listen to the sermons, actually, because I had to go, but yeah. I didn't have to be in the church. Then I did a philosophy degree, as you said, largely from not knowing what else to do with myself, and that set the seal on atheism for me, I think. And at the end of my philosophy degree, I then went on to do a nursing, because I didn't know what else to do, but I didn't want to lose the practice of debating, so I started going on, I guess, what were some of the early internet discussion forums. In about 98, 99, and the most interesting ones to me were American ones. So I started interacting with some of the people who I've been meeting, in some cases for the first time, these last few days. But one guy who I particularly have been sparring with for now, 20 years, was the organizer and of this festival, and he's the director of. Now, he wasn't then, but he's the director and founder of Athanatos Christian Ministries.
Oh, that's how you say it.
Yeah. So, well, I didn't want to correct you at the time, but
no,
yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it.
I have a terrible thing with pronouncing stuff.
So, well, in my case, it's down to Britishness. So as with Geyser and Giza.
Yes.
So he and I have been arguing back and forth. We disagree about almost everything, but I really like the guy. You know, he's a good friend, and we amicably have been arguing throughout, you know, our last few decades while I went into emergency department nursing, and then I started working for Doctors Without Borders. These days, I work in public health, but it's remained an interest and a pleasure to spar with him online. And these last few days, I got to do it in person, which was great.
Excellent. So you said probably right around the time you were in your university, you became an atheist during your philosophy courses.
Yeah, I think I hadn't given it a label before then. It was it's strange how you evolve, isn't it? The first like religious issue I remember having was from like being a very young child. I remember being taught about God, and then probably about 4 or 5, I think we moved and we started going to the local church, and all of a sudden it was all about Jesus, and I felt pretty bad for God. I was like, who's this Jesus character who's coming along and stealing all the glory? You know, I felt like I'd understood that there was a God, and God looked after us, and God was the one who we ought to be thinking about. And yeah, so maybe that was the start of my of my distance from religion, that right off the bat I thought, hey, you know, this is unfair.
Yeah,
Why is he getting all the
this doesn't quite make sense to me.
Yeah, it's like the usurper, and we're talking about him.
Is this something that your family took to or took well to or not?
My parents are still very much a part of the church, but as I said, it is a very liberal church. My dad is actually a lay pastor
Okay.
within the church, but from our conversations, I would say he's pretty much a deist. He's
Okay.
not particularly extreme, and it's not a requirement in a lot of British churches, the older British
Okay.
churches anyway. My mum's a bit more committed. I think she'd rather I wasn't an atheist, but we have a lot of conversations about this, and it's never been a problem between us.
Okay. Now I know you had mentioned before we did the program, we kind of got your with your background. You said that religion is not as big of an issue over in the UK versus, say, over here.
That's my perception. Yeah,
Okay.
as I said, I've talked to a lot of Americans about this, both atheists and Christians, and in a way, in Britain, I think it's almost like it's considered almost undecorous to talk about it. It's considered something that ought to be private. I think people might be uncomfortable. You know, people I work with might be uncomfortable if I was a very outspoken atheist, but only in so much as they would be uncomfortable with anyone expressing any strong feelings about anything, really. It's just you know, you don't tend to talk about religion to people who aren't very close friends in late night conversations with plenty of wine. It's not something that's considered appropriate to bring into public life, and it, unlike here, it's a if a politician is conspicuously religious, it would tend to be a handicap rather than an advantage.
Yeah, and that's actually an interesting thing because I know in Minnesota specifically, there's the idea of the two things you don't talk about is religion and politics, unless it's with, like you said, close family and friends. And so I try to stay away from certain parts of the US because I'm like, oh, you're going to ask me questions. And I really don't want to answer those. I know my sister who lives out in Washington State. Especially after she got pregnant, that was a big question of, oh, well, what church are you going to go to? And she was like,
Right.
and it definitely also depends on how rural you go too. Because even in Minnesota,
Right.
if you go more rural, some of that stuff's picking up.
Yeah.
Yep. Well,
Yeah, I think it's interesting. It can be not discussed but hugely important, and or not discussed and considered fairly low down in the, you know, the list of ways you define yourself. And I think in Britain, for most people, it's you know, it's not going to be in the top five things that they would consider really defining of their identity.
I wish we had that.
Yeah, let's say for us, it's like the opposite. As politicians, for us, it's like, oh, you're a very devout Christian? Well, you got my vote. That's mm-hmm. that's pretty much it.
Well,
that's such a low bar, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because I have heard that, because there's actually a project that I need to get on the air, who their whole thing is to help atheists get into office. And they found that when it comes to like city council and state legislative, it's not as much of an issue. But it seems to be once you start getting that more national attention kind of stuff, that's when all of a sudden it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What do you mean you don't do the same thing I do?
Yeah. Yeah, I may be misremembering this, but I thought at one stage there were more openly gay, legislators or politicians in Washington, D.C. than there were openly atheist.
I was going to say, I mean, I think you really just need one openly gay to outnumber the atheist. Because right. I don't think that we've gotten close a couple of times, but I don't think we've quite gotten there.
Fingers crossed, eh?
Oh, I know.
Yeah, we can only hope, but I don't know. It almost seems like we're moving in the right direction, but it's still, I don't know. It's become a nightmare around here, actually. So.
Yeah, but we will return with our guests, Jordan and Dan, right after the break. Please stay with us. I'm Hertzy Hertz, and you're listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
We need Richard Painter in the United States Senate. I'm Mari Pokonowski, and the former president of the DFL Feminist Caucus. Our democracy is under siege by the Trump administration. Foreign influence is unchecked as politicians exploit power for private gain rather than for public good. The corruptive influence of money in politics makes government unresponsive to the people. For 25 years, Richard Painter has been speaking out against corruption on Wall Street and in Washington. Now, we need him fighting for us in the Senate. He'll fight foreign-owned mining companies seeking to pollute our waterways. He's not taking any PAC money and will fight against money in politics and corruption on all levels of government. He'll fight to initiate investigations and hearings for the treasonous behaviors of President Trump. This is a unique candidate. Please join me in voting for Richard Painter in the DFL primary on August 14th.
I'm Richard Painter, and I approve this message.
Ad prepared and paid for by Painter Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly. Plus, our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers. With scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from, it's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Thank thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz, and we're having what I would classify as a great conversation with Jordan and Dan. See, before we get back, however, I do want to remind everyone listening that immediately following the program, you can listen to American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production of American Atheists. Please note, you can always catch American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or the podcast player of your choice. As for the here and now, if you'd like to get involved in the conversation with Jordan, Dan, and I this morning, you can call us at 952-946-6205, email us at radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk, or you can go on our Facebook page, Atheist Talk, which I always forget to put in the beginning. I don't know why. But anyways, Dan, Jordan, welcome back.
Still here.
Yay! The caffeine's starting to kick in.
Well, your adverts are better than caffeine. They're amazing.
All right, so let's move on to the main reason that you're on here. You went to a Christian arts festival in middle of nowhere, Wisconsin. So
I think that is the official town name, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm from a very small town, Wisconsin, so I know exactly what it's like. But
I actually look up just to see like how far it would be for him to drive. It was like 2 hours. I was like,
a little over 2 hours, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's like a little over an hour from Eau Claire. It's like, yeah, there's nothing around there. So basically, what kind of festival is this? And is it? Yeah, what kind of festival is it? I guess.
So this is my friend who runs this ministry has also got a sideline in publishing. He's an author, and he set up a number of different publishing. Do you say imprints? I'm not sure, but he's a publisher. So he's self-publishing his own books, and he's publishing fiction and non-fiction by other Christian authors. He also has a particular line in publishing kind of out of print books that either, you know, are theologically interesting or you know, from his point of view, politically important. So no, he's republished some. Eugenics texts from the 20s, because he's very concerned about those sort of issues coming back. So the idea of evangelizing through the arts, whatever those arts may be. I mean, there's been some Christian music groups here, and some Christian artists in the sense of, you know, painting and stuff, and a lot of authors coming along to give talks or listen to talks about, you know, literary devices. Or I went to quite an interesting session by a filmmaker in the south of France who's making films to try and convert some of the Muslim population of North Africa. I mean, you know, good luck to him. I think that's going to be a hard job. But the techniques involved were interesting and kind of paralleled the sort of message that I was trying to get across as the black sheep, so to speak, of the conference. That, you know, if you're going to engage with people of very different ideological backgrounds, you have to go to them. You know, you have to understand where they're coming from and what their problems are with your beliefs, so that you can have a sensible conversation, not just run headfirst at them with your preconceptions front and center.
Awesome. So, and now you did 4 debates, right?
Yeah.
So I've done one debate via podcast, and so I'm going to default to your expertise. How much interrupting do you usually get in these debates?
From the audience or from each other?
Yes. We're going to go with yes. I didn't have an audience when I did the podcast, but since you did on stage, we'll go with yes.
Let's go with the audience. I'm curious.
Bit of both. I mean, we – so our the way that we usually debate – so there were 3 of us on stage. There's myself, the festival organizer, and another friend from online debating who is a Christian, but I would say he's – politically and also religiously, he's He's at a point in between the two of us. So he mainly acted as the moderator, which was nice of him. So he would keep us on track time-wise, and he would, say, okay, well, that was interesting. So a question occurs to me is this, and I'd like to hear both your responses.
Oh, so you had a better moderator than mine. Robert, if you're listening, I'm calling you out. He's a friend podcaster. So
it's a tough job to be a good moderator and not, you know, not jump in too much and impose your own viewpoint. He only did that when appropriate. I think if both of them were debating me, it would have felt like bullying. So it was,
right.
It helped to have not a neutral voice exactly, but someone who was paying attention to the flow of the thing. And we didn't. We left time open. So one of the things that the moderator did was we'd get sort of to the end of a topic as much as you can get to the end. I mean, we've been arguing about these things for 20 years and we haven't got to the end yet. So. to get to the end in an hour and a half is unlikely to happen. But, we'd get to what seemed like a natural close point, and the moderator would ask if there were any questions from the audience on that topic before we moved on to the next one. So that worked pretty well. There was one debate, the third one, where things were a bit more contentious or hard-hitting, I guess, because I was making an argument that I feel very passionate about the immorality in the Old Testament. And with Dogs Without Borders, I worked a couple of years ago, I worked in Iraq for a while, and I sort of saw firsthand some of the results of what ISIS had done there in the areas that it had occupied, and spoke to people who'd been exposed to that. And I kept thinking, wow, this is Children of Israel behavior. They're taking sex slaves, they're killing men, women, children, they're executing homosexuals, they're killing for religious differences, and they're imposing a rigid kind of, Sharia or Leviticus, take your pick. So I made this analogy in the debate, and that was obviously quite offensive to some people. I'm suggesting that, that God does evil things, which is a hard thing to hear if you're a very committed Christian. So I appreciate them, being nice to me while I'm saying things that are very challenging for them to hear. But in that debate, there was a lot of hands raised and people coming forwards, waving that they've just got to say something to me. They've got to show me how I'm wrong. So that was the one where we had a lot of more active audience participation. In the others, it was facilitated audience participation.
So did anybody, audience or on the stage, did anybody have anything new? And I was going to say,
there's a lot.
I'm going to have super short, because we're getting into the intro music or outro music.
I can hear it. Yeah. Not incredibly new. No. I think all these debates have been had before, haven't they? And sometimes things are presented in a novel way, but there was nothing that surprised me, really.
All right. Well, we'll return with our guests, Jordan and Dan, right after the break. Please stay with us. I'm Hertie Hertz, and you're listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Kirk Duckwell with the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate. If you're thinking of selling your home, check us out at housegeeks.com. With over 250 sales last year, we would love to help you sell your home too. Contact us today and see how our listings sell faster and for up to 8.9% more than the Twin Cities market average, potentially netting you thousands more in your pocket. Again, go to housegeeks.com today.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style right here on AM 950. Hey, I've only got a few seconds, so here's the deal. Habitation is the coolest furniture store in town. Not only have we got some of the most exceptional furniture in the cities, but in many cases, Habitation can offer you store credit on your existing furniture. Stop in, talk to one of our designers, and let us help you make your home exceptional. Habitation Furnishing and Design, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park.
Robert Burrill here. Looking to add some comedy to your Saturday nights? Tune in to Laughing Matters right here on AM 950 at 7 p.m. to join myself, along with the funniest comedians in the Twin Cities, for an hour of topical social commentary and blatant self-promotion. Laughing Matters is brought to you by Stand Up Records, the recording label of the best comedians in the country, from Doug Stanhope to Hannibal Buress. Visit them online at www.standupcrap.com.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers, here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheist Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Today, partly sunny with a slight chance of showers after 4 p.m., high near 87. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 66. Monday, partly sunny with a high near 81. Warner Stallions is celebrating the grand reopening of its remodeled original store in St. Paul this weekend with food and fun for the family. On top of their unbeatable appliance prices, enjoy face painting and treats from Minnesota favorites, Johnny Pops and No Name Steaks. Learn more at warnerstallion.com/events.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I am your host, Hertzie Hertz, and we're having what I would classify as a wonderful conversation with Jordan and Dan. But before we continue this conversation, which will be our final segment, there's a bit of housekeeping I need to attend to. Atheist Talk is produced with the funding from Minnesota Atheists and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you'd like to advertise on the program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. I also want to note our group of dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of you, our listeners. You help keep Atheist Talk on the air and in podcast form. I'd also like to note our donors of the week, which is George, Nancy, Shirley, Jim, and the rest of the Flying Spaghetti Monster patrons. Thank you so much. If you're able to help with a donation, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page or at our Patreon at www.patreon.com/atheisttalk. Minnesota Atheists is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. We couldn't do the show without you, and we deeply appreciate your support. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michael Davis and is used with permission. Please note, all opinions are of the guest and host only and do not necessarily reflect those of the Minnesota Atheist organization. As always, check out the Minnesota Atheist website for podcasts of previous programs, browse articles, book reviews, and peruse the calendar of upcoming events. And in fact, I have a whole list of events that Heather emailed me that I totally forgot to put in my notes here today. But I do know that the Cucumbers Brunch is going on this morning. Jordan, are you going to go? I know I'm putting you on the spot because I asked you earlier.
I think so.
You think so?
I don't live close to there. Usually I live more Minneapolis area, but I'm close enough today. I think I can make it.
Awesome. Well, I do know that we have a Free Thought 5K registration from Camp Quest. That should be up on our meetup. And then we also have the Secular Women Work Conference, which is on the weekend of the 24th, I believe. And I will be there because it is going to be awesome. There's going to be guests from all over, and it's going to be talking about organizing groups and such. So I totally need help with that with this program. But with all that relevant and wonderful information out of the way, let's get back to our conversation with Jordan and Dan.
Excellent.
Dan, you still there?
I am.
Yep. Oh, good. Okay. You were quiet for a moment. I was like, no, don't say we lost you. This is the longest segment. Oh, do we have, Hunter, do we have a call? Oh, I think we have a call. So we'll be really quick. So Dan, what was your favorite question for this year at the festival for
yeah,
this debate?
What was your favorite? Yeah. As far as your debate goes, what part did you enjoy the most?
Always I guess the show.
I did enjoy the back and forth on the Old Testament morality thing because it got into questions of, you know, the culture at the time, and someone was arguing that, you know, in a sort of collectivist culture, it would be, you know, the it's totally reasonable when you conquer and kill all the warriors in that particular tribe. Totally reasonable thing to do to kill all the baby boys because, you know, otherwise they're just going to grow up to be just like their parents. And I mean, I didn't flat out say that I thought that was a genocidal point of view, but yeah. I got pretty close to it. And although it was the tensest part of the debates, the other ones were just they were fun for us, and it seemed like they were fun for the audience as well. A lot of people said, it's great to hear a civilized debate, so different from the stuff you get online where people are just demonizing each other. And there's something very important about being able to look the other person in the eyes and recognize their humanity even while you're disagreeing with them. But so most of it was just fun. But although it was a bit more tense, I actually did enjoy, you know, this is the real kind of stuff we're talking about. We're talking about human lives and, you know, whether or not our humanity is universal or whether you want to, you know, make excuses and say that some people are a little bit less human in order to, in this case, my perception was this, the guy who was arguing that was trying to justify something that I think cannot and should not be justified.
So the festival had a whole bunch of other events. And Jordan, I might be stepping on your toes. I'm sorry. But the festival had a whole bunch of other events. Did you take place or did you look at any of those or go to any of those?
Yeah, I went when I wasn't involved in anything else because I'm also a sort of musician. So I did a couple of music spots as well. And that was just, you know, light musical entertainment in one of the tents. So when I wasn't either debating or performing, I went to some of the other interesting events that were going on, and you know I wasn't really the target audience of, you know, how to evangelize to people from an Islamic background, but it was interesting to see some of the presenters, both in terms of you know, their presentation style, because I always like to pick up ideas about how I could improve my own public speaking, and also just to hear what they were about and what they were passionate about.
Well, that's great. Now I'm curious, you know, after the debates, you know, you're going around doing stuff. Did you have anybody come up to you and be like, hey, you're that atheist from the debate, like start kind of like yelling at you or taunting you or any of that stuff?
Yes to the first part of the question and no to the second. So it was, I felt like a minor celebrity, really.
Okay.
everyone's like, oh, have you talked to the atheist yet? And he's British. So lots of people wanted to talk to me either about what we'd said, things that they'd thought in response that they'd wished, the other, you know, my adversaries, so to speak, had raised, and points they wanted to make to me and hear my response to. Some people wanted to just talk to me about other stuff, about Britain, about, you know, political things. I had a really good conversation about different styles of healthcare. You know, I've worked in the National Health Service in the UK for a long time, so I'm very passionate about what we don't call there but would call here socialized medicine. So that was a fun topic, but, and as I said, a lot of people wanted to come up to me and say how nice it is to hear, profound differences of opinion, expressed in a non-hostile and non-demeaning way. You know, we can disagree about really important things, but we can still be friends. So yeah, yes to the first part, but nobody was remotely
they weren't demonizing you at all. Okay.
No, everyone, and you know, maybe it was rubbing off on them, but yeah, I've had nothing but warm Midwestern hospitality.
Oh, that's really good to hear. Well, I know that it was in Wisconsin, but we do have a thing here called Minnesota Nice, but I think it's close enough. So
sure, yeah. I mean, these are similar to the UK in a way. There's a lot of decorum in Midwestern culture, from what I understand, and you know, it's important to be civil, I think, on all sides.
No, I totally agree. And I lost my place here. There was one thing I was gonna ask about. Apparently, every year they have a reenactment in the death and resurrection of Jesus, but that was canceled this year. Do you have any info as to why? I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, I think that has happened. I wasn't sure how I would feel about seeing that. But yes, it didn't happen this year.
Okay.
I don't have any direct knowledge as to why, but
okay.
That's a very, I mean, that's something I can't really imagine happening in British churches. I think that would be a very morally conflicted experience, you know. And that's part of perhaps the atheist perspective and part of the British perspective, but I'm just not sure how I would feel about watching a reenactment of the you know, the torture and death of a human being, sort of for entertainment, sort of to make a theological point. So yeah, in some ways, I was glad it didn't happen.
I've seen these, and it is as our Minnesotan listeners will hear from my voice, it was interesting.
Right.
Which is the Minnesota polite way of saying, I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. A little bit screwed up, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It, and then also I went to an Assemblies of God college for 9 months. Please don't ask. It was a very odd time. But we did the play Godspell, which is basically the Book of Matthew put to song. It's really weird. Jordan's like trying not to laugh. It's really weird. We should probably watch it. And it also has that whole piece of the death and the resurrection, and the reactions that people have are fascinating to watch. And it's almost, I almost wish I could go watch it again as an atheist, because I think it would be interesting, because I grew up Catholic. So as a Catholic, I was looking around a little bit and I was like, like, I know this is a big thing, but this is like really, you guys are really into this.
I think that's the way it would seem to me as well. I'd almost want to go on and watch the audience rather than the actual show.
Yeah.
Just to see some of the reactions, just see, it's like, holy crap, this is actually happening right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, you know, when I was in Iraq, man, I forgot the name of Ashura, the Shia festival where they're like self-flagellating, and it's not, you know, it's not pretend. They're really doing it. They're really whipping themselves with like, you know, knotted cords to raise, you know, a spray of blood from their backs.
Oh,
and that's an interesting thing to see. And we mainly kept away from it actually because, you know, you want to try and avoid any gathering where religious tensions run high, and also because it's a Shia festival, there's the potential for it to be targeted by Sunni extremist groups like ISIS. So we didn't linger, but yeah, that was, I don't know, it's strange from my perspective, I should say. You know, obviously it's totally normal if you grow up with it and you can see the purpose in it. But from my point of view, in both cases, the passion experience and that kind of self-flagellation, I just think, why would that be a good thing? It doesn't make sense to me.
I want to say, I think it's in I know it's in more than here, but I know in the Philippines and then and in other countries too, there are people who actually will crucify themselves too as a thing. That's
I saw something like that. They do that like on Easter every year, just to I don't know. They just kind of do that. Just like this is what Jesus did or went through.
I mean,
so
I presume they have some help, otherwise hammering in that last nail would be really hard.
Well, it is very tiny nails.
Still, I can't imagine putting just a nail through my hand. Putting just a tiny nail through my hand. It's like,
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, well, we've had this conversation turned into an interesting one. but thank you for tuning into Atheist Talk. We'd love for you to join us again next Sunday, which should be another exciting episode. And I do want to call out, thank you, Maddie, for helping us get Dan on the air. That was super awesome. Yep, I still called you out. Haha. But thank you, and join us next week at AM 950 KTNF.
Hello and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists. Thank you, as always, for joining us. This week, the Trump administration and Congress did two really big things that have a huge impact on church-state separation in public policy. The first of these was earlier this week. The Justice Department made some changes to the policy manuals for U.S. attorneys' offices, as well as the Department of Justice's litigation offices. They didn't announce these changes. They just sort of did it and published it on their website, but didn't make any big deal out of it. And what these changes to the rules require is that each office, so each U.S. attorney's office, has to have a staff member that's in charge of coordinating and monitoring all litigation that the office is a party to involving religious freedom issues. They are required to inform political appointees at DOJ whenever the office is subject to a lawsuit involving religious liberty. So whenever like the U.S. government is a party to that, to litigation that would touch on that, whenever religious liberty is used as a defense in litigation, or when the offices file a suit involving religious issues. So those three things, they have to coordinate that and then inform. But the bigger story here is that the rules require that the U.S. Attorney's Office get prior approval from the Associate Attorney General, who is a political appointee, before proceeding with any civil suit that might involve religious liberty issues. So this isn't just like monitoring it and making sure that, you know, they're not accidentally infringing on religious views. This is requiring a political appointee to pre-clear any lawsuit that could potentially touch on religious liberty issues. And they're not fully fleshed out as to what that would mean, but presumably it would tie into things like the Department of Health and Human Services with their new office, their new division within the Civil Rights, the Office for Civil Rights, on freedom of conscience and religious freedom. This new division that was set up to handle something like fewer than 10 cases involving religious liberty that were reported to HHS in the past administration. They set up this entire new office that, according to recent estimates that just came out this past week, would cost the U.S. healthcare system something like $300 million to comply with. This is what our tax dollars are being spent on, creating these sham offices that are used to prop up religious issues and used to privilege religion above all else. But let's be honest here, it's about privileging specific religion above all else. Getting prior approval to file a lawsuit against a person who is a member of a religious minority that has, you know, unconventional religious views on issues like, you know, drug use or something like that. I have a hard time believing that their religious views are going to be given as much deference as the religious views of a nurse or a desk clerk at a healthcare provider who refuses to in any way participate in providing an abortion. And this isn't just the person performing this abortion. The new HHS rules say that anyone involved in the procedure cannot be fired by their employer, their private employer, for refusing to do their job. And so does that mean someone, the clerk sitting at the desk who checks you in, does that mean the person who cleans the office? Does it mean people who handle the billing? Like, how far does this go? And so I have a hard time believing that political appointees from the Trump administration are going to be vigorously protecting the rights of religious minorities as much as they're protecting people who don't think women should be able to have abortions and hate gay people. And so, you know, this is – let's just call this – it is what it is, and let's be honest about the impact here. This is something we're going to be keeping an eye on and seeing what's happening, but it's certainly something that LGBT movement and the women's health community is keeping an eye on, and we will as well. The second thing is about the budget bill, the budget deal that passed to much fanfare, bipartisan budget deal that passed on Thursday, I believe it was. This includes a provision that allows FEMA to directly fund the construction of churches as well as their outfitting. So refurbishing or renovating churches damaged in natural disasters. The other side has painted this as an issue of churches being discriminated against, but it's simply not accurate. What they're doing in this law and what they did in a rules change from FEMA was change the definition of what FEMA calls essential services of a governmental nature to the general public. So these are things like museums, community centers, homeless shelters, facilities that provide health and safety services, things like that, and calling churches and saying that churches fit into those categories. The problem here is that houses of worship are not open to the general public. They're only for religious activities, and they don't provide critical services to the general public. And so they reclassified churches as meeting this definition, even though they clearly don't, so they could access these relief grants. Now, this law, this budget act, codifies that and puts it in place, and now it's not just an interpretation of a rule, but it is the law. This is bananas. This is allowing houses of worship to not just build their facilities and, you know, oh, we have a church who provides provided housing for people during the hurricane. You can be reimbursed for damages that happened there. You can be reimbursed for expenditures in providing care. That was already allowed. What they're doing here is saying that the federal government must give directly to churches money for them to build an altar, if it's a cathedral, you know, to build the throne for the bishop, to build minarets, to buy Bibles. That's what this money can be going for. And churches have no financial disclosure. We don't know what the money is being spent on. We don't know what how the church's finances were before. And so we're forced into this uncomfortable position where either the church gets this money and we have no way of knowing how they spend it, or the federal government has to tell churches what is and what is not an appropriate use of money. And neither one of those things is especially constitutional or advisable. Like, we don't want the government doing those things. And so this is these are churches sort of selling their soul and you know, getting money that comes with a lot of strings, and I think religious leaders should be very hesitant about getting the government involved in their finances, because right now they enjoy a very high level of deference that nonprofit organizations don't. And I should point out, churches were already eligible for reimbursement for providing aid. They were already eligible to apply for loans. They were already eligible for insurance. What this is giving them special treatment. If something happened to American Atheists, we were struck by a hurricane, we don't get free money to rebuild. We have insurance. But now a church gets that money. That's all the time I have for this week. Thank you so much for listening. For more information about our work, please visit www.atheists.org. Just a reminder, our national convention is coming up March 29th to April 1st in Oklahoma City. Hope to see you there, and that's atheists.org/convention2018. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.